Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, Los Angeles. It's your girl, Monique Leray. Thank you for tuning in on Sunday at 4 o'clock. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Southern California. I literally just landed. I just got back from Chicago for a weekend of casting. We were doing some shoots for our pandemic film. So if you are someone who is, you know, living through the pandemic, which is all of us, but has an interesting story, we would love to hear from you. If you're a healthcare provider or someone that's made something positive out of this time, we would love to interview you. We're doing interviews all over the country. So you can email us at capaquariusmedia@gmail.com, capaquariusmedia@gmail.com. But today we have the pleasure of having my friend and psychotherapist, Saman Kazani, back. Saman, how are you today?
Hi.
Hi.
I like the guitar thing. It's like, I feel like I'm on carpool karaoke for half a second.
I know, right? you lead me to my point. I literally am doing the show from my car. Sometimes when you're a startup and you have a few things going, you have to run from the airport and do a podcast.
Totally.
So I'm living it for sure, but your background looks great. Where did you find your painting?
It's funny. It's actually, we were talking about this the last time I was here, but I got this at a garage sale.
Love it.
And I just felt, you know, anything that makes me feel like I'm in, even if I can't be in the water, if psychologically I feel like I'm near the water, it calms a little. So as soon as I walk absolutely. In, it's like, boom.
Yes, absolutely. The colors are great and it brings out your skin tone. Well, it's great to see you. And in case the viewers and listeners don't know who you are, why don't you tell us who you are?
Sure. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I consider myself a generalist, so I work with very broad range of people and a wide range of struggles they're dealing with. I work with young children between 4 and 12. I work with adults, doing a little more psychodynamic therapy. I'm heavily influenced by Jungian psychology, and there's a lot of fun things that happens in there. It's challenging, but it's great work.
I bet no 2 days are the same for you. Like when you come to work via Zoom or however you do, I mean, you must just get the whole gamut of things.
Yeah. Like anything, it has its repetitive parts, which is nice. And then it has things you just don't expect. And that does keep it interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think, you know, it takes a certain kind of person to want to have a career like that, where you, every day's not the same and you have those surprises. And I know you shared on the last time you were here, the reason why you became a psychotherapist was just out of your own curiosity about your own psychoanalysis. Is that the right term? Your own psycho state.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is, you're right, which is why I like going there. You know, there's sometimes we use in the therapy room, there's a trigger or there's a pinch or there's a difficult feeling that comes up. And those moments are sometimes the most shift happens there. It's those are the pregnant moments for sure.
Oh, the pregnant moments.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to Abraham. I think you and I discussed her offline, Abraham Hicks, and she talked about those are like moments of contrast. Mm-hmm. So you're creating those difficult moments of contrast. So you decide you know what you don't want, and then you decide that you know what you do want. And they can be positive if you turn them into it, even though they don't feel like it sometimes.
Absolutely. I think that's really well said.
Okay. Well, thanks. So you're back in the middle of what, I mean, you know, what we thought was just going to be maybe a pandemic and we'll have to figure that out somehow. And now, you know, our world has shifted even more, rightfully so, some will say, with a lot of civil unrest and racial divides and tensions. And there's a lot of feeling out there on top of a pandemic. And I'm wondering, you know, what we can take away in this moment, you know, really connect with each other and what we could get out of this positive.
Yeah, well, you know, I think everything has, you know, there's this biopsychosocial dynamic to humanity, right? And it has all these different components to it. And there's a huge focus on the social right now. And I think a lot of people can speak about that very well. It's very relevant. But I think part of the reason you brought me on is to bring in that psychological element.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so you can just feel the kind of woundedness that's coming up for people right now. Because, you know, I like doing dream work. I think I mentioned that to you. And a lot of clients are bringing in dreams that are, they're apocalyptic. There's a lot of tenseness and a lot of feeling like something's coming to an end. And it seems like such a reflection of the place we're in that people are really grieving for humanity right now. You know?
Sure.
They really are. They're feeling the collective. And then the question in that is, when you're grieving for humanity in a way that feels, you feel so powerless, how do you feel power in that? And from the psychological perspective, I think this is really a time to, I like to step inside with people, inside themselves, and say, what is coming up for you in all of this? I mean, I don't think it's a surprise to say that one of the feelings that really come up for people with what's happening is the feeling of inferiority, right? Because when we talk about all these things, when we talk, for instance, people talk about racism, what is racism? How do we explain that? I mean, one way of psychologically defining racism is someone projecting their own feeling of inferiority onto another. Asking them to hold on to it, whether it's conscious or not, right? And then what happens is people might start to actually feel that or experience that and internalize that. And I really... that's just one example of how I would like to help people stay in touch with the part of themselves that feels full and has something to offer and doesn't have to internalize that inferiority, you know? What do you do?
I like that.
Yeah, so you don't take in what the world is telling you your value is, right? Mm-hmm. How do you stay in touch with your value when there's a lot coming at you and people are projecting it all onto you?
That's a really good point. And I guess that goes back to, you know, the really down to earth and tangible thought of, I can only control what I do, my reaction, my feelings on things, my perspective, what I do next, what I don't do. And I think when things are not feeling so safe, when your business feels like it's 50-50 shot, you don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You got to go inside. And I like what you're saying about highlighting the things that feel strong. For me lately, it's been taking some online courses, like I'm brushing up on my business courses, you know, and that created a place where I feel pretty, pretty good. I think, you know, it's a really great time for people to take what you're saying and perhaps educate themselves on what Black people are talking about. You know, specifically speaking, you know, the history of this country and the system it was built on and the system that was, you know, not built for us. And yet, you know, a lot of us still, we still do well. You know, there's still people who do really, really well in the Black community, even though. And
So it feels like you're saying it's a really good time for people to step back and learn a little bit, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Really learn, to learn about the experience of the other. And
I think it's a good thing, because I think going from your original point about going to the strengths within yourself, perhaps learning about what people are saying could be a strength, like just teaching yourself, you know, even Black people, we can refresh ourselves on the history of it all, perhaps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's a really good point. That's definitely a really valuable way to spend the time.
Yeah. What do you think is a valuable or helpful for one if they say they don't feel very strong within themselves? What are some like valuable exercises that they could do to strengthen those? Because, you know, it's like a muscle, right? You have to work it out, and confidence and finding value and strength in an unsafe time.
Sure, sure. How does a person feel value, right? How does a person feel value? And I think so much of it comes in feeling seen, right? There's this interesting that happens in the therapeutic relationship where they say just the act of the person feeling seen in their story is uplifting and healing in its own way. And it's because being heard and being witnessed is a way of feeling more empowered, you know? And I think so the question becomes, in order to feel empowered, in order to feel strength, how do I feel seen? You know, and there's so many ways we do that, right? One way is through our voice. We express our truth, which we hold on to in so many different ways. I mean, I'm sure you can feel it right now. There's a time in which we're all talking around each other. And there, it's very hard to really to speak what's really happening inside of you. And that's what makes it tense. But when you're able to speak your truth, it's it releases something in you. It makes it does fill you up in a way. Ego strength, building ego strength is very much about how do I feel aligned with who I am, and how do I feel seen in who I am.
Yeah, and you know that is actually goes right into perhaps why people are stepping out and protesting amongst the pandemic, putting themselves and others perhaps in not on purpose, of course, in more danger or long term damage. They're asking for something else, but they're adding value to their cause, to the cause. And that's one way to get your voice.
Absolutely. I mean, a voice being heard isn't just about a kind voice being heard, right? It's a voice of rage, a voice of desperation, a voice of wanting to be understood. I mean, we all have ways in which we'll do what we need to do to be heard when the time comes, right?
That's true. Yeah. I think I was speaking with you offline about an article idea. I started doing some article writing in this whole thing also as a way to get it out. I ranted on my Facebook a couple times. I figured that's probably not the healthiest way to handle it, you know, and people are probably going to get tired of me bitching, but all right, where can I put this? And so I started doing an article last week or about 10 days ago. It's called The Reason Why You Probably Lost a Few Friends Last Week. It's a really kind of ironic title, and a lot of people have been able to connect to the article because I think I was able to keep my ear to the ground, stay on social media, and kind of observe people and what they were saying and how they were feeling, how they were fighting, and who they were blocking, and the hurt that they were showing about losing friends over this situation, over George Floyd, and having to confront what exactly that is. And you know, are you going to show up for your Black friends when you need them? And all we're asking is to be seen and to be able to live. So is that even a friend? I posed that question in the article. Like, we're just asking is that our life matter? Just matter enough to live. And a lot of people have lost some friends in the last couple weeks, you know, or acquaintances. So...
You know, I think there's a real luxury in the work I do to be able to have those conversations. You know, there's a way in which when, like, somebody could come in and they could say something that in your waking life, you wouldn't have it for a second, right? And there's almost this weird, like, inner oath or this feeling that when this person comes to me with this, my first line is to go towards, okay, tell me more about that. Tell me more about why you have that feeling. Tell me more about why this is your perspective, even if it's something that I disagree with or I feel feels like a violation of some kind, you know? It kind of pushes me to have the conversation in a way that's not easy to have outside in a way, because there's this assumed kind of...
This is a safe box.
Yeah, it's just unconditional desire to understand what's in front of you, you know? Because out in the world, when it gets too much, sometimes we say, hey, we can't have this conversation anymore. We can't make it our responsibility to have people understand this anymore. But in the therapy room, there is a way in which it feels like an endless search to understand the what's in front of you. And so I think I have to deal with it less than a lot of people do, you know, and I can acknowledge that.
Yeah. And I like what you're saying. It is it's good to have those outlets. You got to let some air out of the tire or else. I mean, what are we going to do?
You know, that it's interesting you say that, though, because one thing you find often in therapy is that catharsis doesn't always lead to relief. So it's important to let go, but it also, I don't know if you've ever found this with something where, you know, you can keep going and getting it out, but you don't necessarily feel emptied.
Yeah, it's a deeper well than you thought you had.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot more water in that well.
It's a deeper well. Yeah.
It's a deeper well. Yeah, you know, you bring up some really cool, it's like when I speak to you, it's like we're opening it up all these other little tabs on the in the web browser. Which is but it's okay. And you know, there's a lot of different conversations happening, and I want to bring this back to business because, you know, this is the startup. What do you find for people who might want to get into your profession? What do you find as maybe a peaceful antidote for them if they're thinking about getting in the psychotherapy world, in the mental health space? Mm-hmm. Someone's out there about to choose their major. What would you offer for them?
I'm having trouble understanding the question, but that's...
I know, I sometimes... Well, you know, if they are not sure they want to get into it, what would you offer? Yeah, that because you love what you do.
I do. It's... Yeah, what would I offer? I'd say...
You know, bring them over on your side.
Totally. I'd say once you get a better sense of yourself, you know, because I was in a program where the whole idea is it's an inside out approach. So the more into yourself you go and the more you understand yourself, the more harmony you're going to feel out there in the world, you know. And I would think a lot of people, it's hard to explain, but I always say do it, you know, because it's not necessarily for the financial gain or all of that stuff, but it, I don't know how to explain it. It's like magic, you know, you know, let's put it this way. You asked me at the beginning, you said never a dull day, right? It's kind of like that. It's like when you go to your church, you go to your temple, wherever you go, you immediately have a connection with God in a way. And the connection to God here is that there's always something provocative, always something mysterious, always more to understand about who's in front of you. And that's always a reflection of that there's more to understand about yourself. So you're constantly in this back and forth exploration of understanding the mystery of yourself and therefore the mystery of others. You know, it's like one time I remember I had a client and sometimes you can butt heads, right? You can be in different places. And I remember when I was an intern, the supervisor said to me, they said, oh, I'd have to keep working with this person. I said, oh, why? And they said, because I'd always be looking in the rearview mirror. I'd always be wondering what was going on, you know? And that constant fascination and search to understand the what's happening in a person is fascinating to me. I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but psyche isn't just mind. Psyche means soul. That's what it comes from. And it's the entirety of what makes you, you, in the personal and the collective way. And I love that. And I know that sounds ambiguous, but I'm drawn to that psychotherapy. I live by the idea that without ambiguity, we are soulless. And I like that unknown piece. I feel like that's what draws me to it. And for some people, they're drawn to it in a different way. And that's okay too.
Well, it brings you that theory, your mission statement, if you will, that draws us back to your original point in the beginning about going within in the deeper place and going within when things aren't balanced around you and finding back to one. So that, you know, that soul, inner soul, psyche, that all matches, that goes together. And it's an onion that you're always peeling and getting deeper, you know, into. I'm going to switch it up a little on you. And I hope you don't mind. And you can tell me if it's too deep, but I just think that it kind of naturally is flowing here. And before we go there, why don't you tell the listeners how they can find you? If they want a session, please plug away. We'd love to hear it.
Sure. Wow, that's a cliffhanger if I've ever heard one.
Good.
So, sure. So they could find me on Instagram at To Be Human Psychotherapy. The two is T-O. So it's To Be Human Psychotherapy. I'm on Facebook at Saman Kazani, Marriage and Family Therapist. They can call me at 818-207-4443, or they can email me at saman.kazani@gmail.com.
Are you really booked up these days, Saman?
It's getting more and more, but it's in a different kind of way, and it's interesting because more people have access to me right now, you know, because we're doing a lot of Zoom.
Yeah.
I'm also starting, this is kind of a switch up too, but I'm starting a psychotherapy group. It's going to be called Conscious Dating and Relationships. And for anybody in California who wants to take part, they can.
Because we're. That's awesome. Yeah, we need it. What are you saying? We need it in California. We're not woke. We need some dating tips in LA.
Now, though, right? I mean, how do we bring ourselves fully into a place of intimacy in a time where there's so much disconnect, right? So
that's the title of your autobiography. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So they can reach out to me as well. And I'll be co-facilitating that with a psychotherapy colleague, Melissa Cherry. So
very dope. I love it. Put some girl power on there. You go, boy.
Just have different perspectives. Yeah.
I love it. And that's really timely because, you know, I always make fun of myself, but I'm on Bumble and that's just a disaster. Like, who's going to be, you know, going out on dates right now? It's not going to work.
Well, yeah, we have this part of ourselves too, right? When you're dating right now, where you're kind of skipping through some of the steps that you didn't have to skip through before, because the need for safety is asked for so much earlier than it is in typical times. There's a way in which you're asking for a lot more from a person very early on, and it forces a kind of closeness and intimacy.
Yeah. You're kind of like, do you want to be my quarantine boo or not? Let's do this thing. We're stuck for a year, baby. Let's get this train going, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we have a few more minutes, and I thought I'd shift it up a little bit. And please tell me, you know, your take on what I'm saying, because you're really good about that. I'll if you guys haven't seen before, I'll throw someone a question and he'll be able to get it where it needs to be and land the plane. But sometimes I'm just curious, and I think in this climate with people throwing around the word prejudice and racist, I really want to know what drives someone, in your view, from your professional perspective, to be a racist, to kind of just, you know, not have self-respect for themselves and others. I wonder what that's all about.
I think that goes back to what I said kind of at the beginning about inferiority. So racism in many ways is somebody has their own experience of inferiority that they are projecting onto another. And the need to project onto another comes often from not being self-aware enough, you know? And that's kind of learned. That's learned. I guess it depends on what kind of family you're brought up in, and how you're taught to communicate, and how you're taught to observe yourself versus observe others, you know? And a lot of people, when they're focused on what's happening outside of themselves, they'll say, oh, that's the bad thing over there. That's the bad thing. They don't really stop to check themselves in that moment. And so when you say what, you know, I'm not in a position of authority to say what creates racism. I can just tell you conceptually how I understand it. And because that's how I see it as a projection, when I see it in front of me, I can kind of ask and question others to explore what's coming up for them in themselves. Say, hey, I noticed, you know, this is something you're saying about the situation here, but what's happening for you that you're so upset about this?
See, and that's the thing people do not do. And the fact that you would do that would be so great. I thought I turned my notifications off.
Well, I have, okay, let's be real. I mean, I have that luxury, right? Because I'm not like, as a guy, you know, it's a little bit different. As a brown man, it's a little bit different. Like, I can hold grays a little bit more and ask those questions in a way, because I may not be carrying the same sensitivity to everything here. On a collective level, I'm feeling it. But on a personal level, I don't feel it necessarily in the same way. And because of that, I have the luxury and I feel the responsibility to hold those grays and to talk to people in that way. So I can see something that feels activating for me, but it's not so activating that I can't explore it. And I can do both. I can say, hey, this is, you know, as a therapist, I always say I'm not just validating and I'm not just challenging. I'm kind of doing both. I can talk to a person that I don't agree with, and challenge your point of views, and I could see pieces of them that, you know, the child in them, the human in them, the pieces of them that are tender, even when they bring things my way I don't like. And I'm kind of lucky I get to do that. And I mean, I would recommend that to everyone if we had that capacity. But it's a hard thing to do. It's a hard process.
That's a great way to do it. And that's, I think, maybe where people are with their friends that they feel, or associates where this is coming out of the blue for them, like, whoa, you really feel this way? And but they've had a relationship with them that they can actually say, well, what's coming up for you? Take the big person to flip it, though, and not make it about them, you know? So that's a really helpful thing to do.
Yeah, people tend not to be responsive the other way for me. You know, when I approach people from the other place, which is I first go to the part and thing in them I want to change, they just don't really respond. So I'm kind of left with a process of elimination. I'm kind of like, this is not the way to go about it for me, you know? You know, we hear...
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I cut you off?
Thank you. No, but I have to cut you off because we have another guest.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Saman, for making time. And I know it's just Sunday. When will you start your couples group? And can you give us your plugs one more time?
Sure. Yeah. The conscious dating and relationship group is not started yet. We're building up the group right now, and people can just reach out and inquire about that if they're interested. The Instagram handle was To Be Human Psychotherapy, so TOBE Human Psychotherapy. The Facebook is Saman Kazani Marriage and Family Therapist. They can call at 818-207-4443, or they can email me at saman.kazani@gmail.com. And I'll keep working on
that. You'll do what? What'd you say?
I'll keep working on that plug.
Yes, no, you're great. Thank you again for coming and bringing some light, shedding some light and some insight and some psychotherapy on this whole thing. And we can't wait to see you again. I think we're going to check in with you in a few weeks. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I love this. This is great.
Okay. Well, thanks for being part of the pandemic, Bossy, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for including me. See you soon.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. All right, you guys. That was Saman Kazani. Check him out. He's amazing. We're going to get CJ Lysette up next. And while we're doing that, I wanted to give a shout out to Gentry Stanley, my producer. We just got back from Chicago for the pandemic film. If you're interested, you can email us at capaquariusmedia@gmail.com. We're going to NOLA, New Orleans. We're going to Alabama and Florida in about 2 weeks. So if you're in that area and you have a healthcare story or story about being in the pandemic, please reach out to us. And give me 1 second while we get CJ on. And let's see. Do we have him?
Monique, are you there?
Hey, CJ, how are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Great. Welcome to the startup. Thank you for making time today.
Absolutely. Wouldn't miss it.
Well, you know, I was telling Saman, I'm in my car. I just got back from Chicago, so I'm doing the show in my car again. But
things happen.
It's a mobile show. So
mobile.
Thank you for joining us. Why don't you tell the viewers exactly who you are and give them a little background on yourself?
Yeah, great. So my name is CJ Lysette. I am a life and business strategist here in San Diego. I'm very proud to and excited to always help my clients strategize around their business and around their personal lives, whatever the challenges may be. I have a very extensive background in business banking and finance, business consulting, real estate. I've been doing that for about 28 years. And I've also have an extensive background in the ministry work as a Christian minister. I did that for 10 years as well. So it really was a nice blend to be able to coach people personally and professionally, especially for those who have a resonation with their spiritual side of their life as well as their business side. So it's kind of in a nutshell what I'm about. I'm about helping people be successful.
Okay, so that's a really interesting background, and the way that you've married it all together, you're now coming to the forefront of a strategist. Is that, that's your new kind of thing you're doing now, right?
Right, absolutely.
What is your dream client these days where you can maximize all those skills that you possess to help them? What position in their life would they be in?
Yeah, so I have one client in particular that I'm thinking about. He owns his own business. He has several different medical weight loss clinics in the U.S. And he also, has a very busy life. And so when you're running a business and you're trying to juggle everything at the same time, and then also trying to maintain a quality life for yourself, there is a balance that you need to maintain, because one thing is going to suffer. If you go too far over here and devote all your time to your business, and your personal life suffers, your relationships suffer. And so the key is, for him, is finding that balance, finding that equilibrium, so that one part of his life doesn't suffer while the other one thrives.
And, sure. And
so my perfect client would be somebody who really wants to have great balance in their life. They want to be successful in their profession, but they also want to have success in their personal life and the relationships that they have with those that they love and care about.
Well, then this is the perfect time for someone to reach out to you, because here we all are sitting in our houses and we've got some time and we're trying to balance. And I'm finding, I don't know about you, but I'm even more busy than before, because people have time to focus in on perhaps the things they've neglected. And maybe for being in a pandemic, you know, and trying to balance the kids' schoolwork and the husband and your career, what would you give, you know, what tips would you give for that person that's, you know, at the house multitasking?
Right. I think first and foremost, what I always teach my clients is to have an intention. You know, what is your intention about your life? What is it that you want your life to look like? If you were to let your mind step away or dream what you really want your life to look like, what is it? Is it more time with family? Is it more time with your husband, your wife, your children? Do you want to reconnect with members of your family that you haven't reconnected with in a while? So I start my clients first with building intention. What is it that you truly want? I want you to dream about that. And once you have that intention, then we can create a plan. And of a real solid plan, a proactive plan of how you're going to accomplish that. And we can break it down weekly or daily, weekly, monthly. But it really is creating intention.
That's a really good starting point, I think. Like, I'm just relating this back to my own experience. March 16th, all right, I'm in full lockdown. Everything's coming to halt. So I said, in a year, I want to have something said for this time instead of being stuck in the house for, you know, 12 months and have nothing to show for it. So I can relate to the intention in that way. So you've been doing this for about 28 years, and you also have a banking background. What could you offer the listeners as far as, you know, financial balance or perhaps some tips there right now in a pandemic? What would be like the priority now financially, do you think?
Yeah, I think the real key financially for most people, and I'll just say this in general, because everyone has a different circumstance financially, sure. but definitely look at your budget. And don't look at where you're just at today, but look at where you could be a year from now. You know, where are the trends happening in the business world and in the economic status of the U.S. and your job? You know, could you potentially lose your job in the next 6 to 9 months? Is that where it's trending? So really look at your budget. Take a look at where you're spending your money. Can you slim back? Can you tighten up the belt a little bit? Cash is king, and being able to have a reserve for your family and for your finances is really important. They always recommend having a 6 month reserve. So look at your finances and really tighten up that belt and budget. See where you can actually slim down and stop being so frivolous, whether you're spending on clothes or electronics or whatever it is.
No more Amazon purchases, huh? No more packages coming in the mail.
Yeah, right. If you need it, you need it. But, you know, try to get it on sale. There's going to be a lot of great sales happening, especially with airlines and travel. So if you want to travel, now's the time to book your travel, like 6 months down the road. You're going to get like 50% off.
That's really great. Yeah. And so do you have any, like, insight on the small business stuff? I know we didn't preface this before we came on, but I thought I'd ask you. Because I'm hearing so many mixed messages. Like, I've got a gal that comes on, Christina, she's given us updates about it from her perspective on the East Coast. But there's a lot of small businesses getting emails and getting denied, or there's credit checks. Like, I'm confused, because you see Ruth's Chris get money. You see these big corporations get money, and these little guys are just getting pounded. Do you have any insight on that?
So So the way the program was designed was through the Small Business Administration. That organization, run and funded by the government, was designed to create emergency funds. There's an EIDL program, which they can get up to $10,000 of emergency funds that did not have to be repaid. Now, according to the SBA now, that fund has been exhausted for most businesses. The only ones that can apply for that emergency fund up to 10 grand is agricultural businesses. There's that. But besides the EIDL program, there's the PPP, which is the payment or the payroll protection plan. And that was a huge lift for a lot of businesses. But as you mentioned, there were a lot of businesses that were money grabbing those funds that really didn't need it because they weren't open. You know, the business was closed. They weren't paying employees.
They were over 500. They weren't under
It really was a money grab. And so some of the businesses got left out. Now, for a business who wants to participate in that program, there is still some funds available. They just have to go to their bank, and their bank has to be an SBA-approved lender for them to be able to apply for that loan. There is no fees for it. The government pays the bank fees to process that loan, but there's no fees to the business owner. And it could be potentially forgivable in entirety if they follow the guidelines of that PPP program, which were recently just revised. They're not as stringent as they were before. So SBA.gov is a great site to go on there and take a look. And if anybody has questions or concerns or issues, have them contact me, and I would feel free to walk it through with them.
Well, speaking of that, why don't you go ahead and plug yourself? Give us your handles, your phone number, your email, however you want people to contact you.
Great. So my website is the360strategist.com. So the 360strategist.com. That's my website. You can see me there. And then also on Instagram, I'm there. It's LifeSet Consulting Solutions 2020. LifeSet is spelled LYCETT, and then Consulting Solutions. The website is the best way to go. You'll be able to see my phone number and my email there. So again, it's the 360strategist.com.
That's a great name. How did you ever yank that website? You got lucky.
I have an amazing friend who has amazing ideas.
That's great. Okay, so what'd you say?
I have to give you some credit for that.
Well, what are you foreseeing for entrepreneurs, in the next 6 months? I mean, a lot of us are like, fuck, man, our whole schedule has been wiped out. No events. And some people are, stepping out a little bit. But what do you foresee for that small business? And what advice would you give them to kind of just keep the hope and to move the next level?
Right. I think first and foremost, continue to market your business. Do not forget about marketing your business for opportunities to fulfill your services, whatever it is that you do 3 months, 6 months, 9 months down the line. Continue to market, continue to use social media, continue to reach out. Don't let your clients, your former clients, forget about you, because if they forget about you, somebody else is going to remind them and they're going to flop over. So keep in contact with your clients. This is a great time to send them notes, give them a call, check in with them, see what they're up to. Do a planning session with them, and compare your services with what their needs are now and maybe 6 months down the line. Because if you can plug them in on your calendar 6 months down the line, you're doing something for 6 months later. So you're doing some work there. The other thing is, try to think about ways how you can pivot your business. You know, we have now entered an area or a time when we think more about being virtual. So, we're seeing businesses close, retailers close, because they're now thinking, well, I can sell my garments or my gear online. Why do you need a brick and mortar, right? So everything's more virtual now. Think about how you can service your clients virtually instead of having to be there in person, perhaps, like Zoom calls like this one. It's a great way to connect with people. Use technology, leverage technology to provide a service. If you're a consultant, that's easy. But if you're actually producing a product, whether it's a physical product, think about ways that you can maybe create a new product that is a good fit for your clients as well. So sometimes businesses stick with one product. Broaden your product base so that you have some more touches. I've got a client who does medical weight loss. So he has designed his business so that he can add other services to it. He wasn't just doing food. He began doing healthy shots, B12 shots and things like that for his clients. He was doing virtual teledoc advisory for his clients. Instead of them having to come into the clinic, he did it virtual. So think out of the box. That's my best
advice. I like that. Great advice. And I think it is a really good time to build value and fill in the blanks there. And there's a lot of businesses that are kind of, I would say, intimidated by the internet. And so if you can fill in the blanks for people there, that's a good, a good way to meet their needs. What's your price range? You don't have to tell us the price because I know every client's different. But if people are watching and they want to hire you, where do you start?
Right. So I ask clients to, in my fee structure, $75 to $95 an hour. It's a very reasonable fee. I'm going to charge you $5,000 up front to retain my services. I don't do that because we don't really know how long a client is going to need help. So I charge them by the hour. I'll do a much smaller retainer. Whatever is not used out of that retainer, I return to the client so it's not lost. But I do ask them for that. Right. So I do ask them for that commitment because, before you know it, you're into it 5, 10, 15, 20 hours. But it is a smaller retainer, and whatever's not used goes back to the client. So that's my word on that. It's normally around $75 to $95 an hour. We can do it in person. We can meet at your office, your home, or we can do virtual, which is really the way to go right now because it saves everybody time, and I can see you just as well as you see me using a Zoom. So I do a lot of that as well.
So you're like a lawyer. We're billing billable hours. So that's great. It sounds like your heart's really in it, and it's not a money grab, and you really do want to just help people, and get them where they want to be. Yeah. So we got a few more minutes. Yeah. What did you want to tell, the viewers and the listeners? I know that we talked a little offline about kind of the current climate and perhaps using this moment to, really connect with people that you care about and providing an avenue of understanding. And, I think we covered a lot of business stuff. So perhaps we can cover a little life stuff. And you spoke about being a pastor in the past. How can we kind of grasp this moment? If people don't know, you have a daughter that's mixed race, right? So I would love your insight, your point of view.
Yeah. You're talking about the social issues that we have currently, right?
Yeah, it's been going on for a while, but as of right now, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's important to acknowledge people's feelings and thoughts and ideas. Whenever we try to bottle up people's ideas and thoughts and things that they want to express, we always want them to express their ideas and their opinions peacefully in a way that engages us to have a conversation. We definitely need to talk more. Black lives do matter. They matter very much. They matter just as much as all the other lives matter. But this is a Black Lives Matter movement. We need to be sensitive to that. We need to listen. If somebody needs to get something off their chest, and listen to them. And I think we definitely need to be more sensitive, or we need to have more dialogue about this subject. It is not taboo. It is not taboo. We can admit that we all are different. We have difference of color. We have difference of ideas, difference of culture. We need to be more accepting. We need to be more And I don't even like to use the word tolerance, because tolerance is almost like I tolerate you. We need to really wrap our arms around each other. There needs to be more love in the world, for sure. And we truly need to be more sympathetic to people who have bad things happen to them. And we need to affect change. So the more that we can talk and have dialogue around it and understand each other, we're not always going to agree on everything, but we need to agree that everyone should be treated equally and that we should promote that in every day of our lives. My daughter is Black. Her mom is African-American. And so, you know, learning that culture was really enriching for me as a person and as a group, as a man. So I love all cultures, and I embrace them all, and I love the differences that we have. Those differences are beautiful things. They're not negative things. And so we need to be more open and embrace all of that.
I like that you put it that way, and I think you're right. It is a time to kind of learn about someone else for a change and kind of learn about ourselves. I mean, I think that what I'm gathering from a lot of my friends that are not Black is that they don't quite understand, and nor should they. It wasn't really overly taught in high school, and you would have to seek out a course to understand the systemic situation and infrastructure. And I think promoting that knowledge, people can go, oh shit, they're not the angry Black people. This is really something that there's a paper trail in, and we can see it. And there's laws, you know? And hearing people and educating about what they're saying, I think, really helps.
Right. Absolutely. I think we need to have an open mind and have more dialogue. But we want it to be done peacefully, and we want it to be done with the intention that we want to understand, and we want to get to know people. You know, we live in a world right now that needs more peace than ever before. And you would think that as a society, we will learn from the past. And I think sometimes there are people that there's going to be people that will always have a negative energy in their life, and so they treat others badly, right? There's always going to be those. But we've got to work on the majority, and we got to push it along so that we have a point where we can feel really comfortable and good and feel like we have the success that we now have a united place to live. We need to work at that. So, but we can do it. We can definitely do it if we put our minds and hearts to it.
And I love that you are actually putting your energy behind that. And I think you have something, I'm putting you on the spot, I know I am, but I think you're doing something to promote that very thing coming up soon, right?
Yeah, what I would like to do is create a moment of silence for George Floyd and for all of the African American community. It's a moment of silence for peace. That's what I'm promoting. And so I know that I need to get going on that a little bit more and really get it out there. But I know there's a lot of protesting going on. Their voices are being heard. I just thought that maybe a moment of silence in recognition that we need peace for all and we need equal treatment for all. I think it would be a very good thing to do and demonstrate peace.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes left, so you'll have to get back to me on that, and we'll definitely promote it and let us know when you're going to do that. Why don't you give everybody your handles again in case they didn't catch it before and how they can connect with you?
Okay, great. So they can reach me on my cell at 760-681-9058, and they can also reach me at my website at the360strategist.com. It's almost a tongue twister.
It is. But I love it. I love the day.
I'm not going to try to say it 10 times straight, but 360strategist.com. I am a life and business strategist. And I live in San Diego, but we can do this virtually. So we can help people anywhere they want to be helped at.
Oh, great. So you're available at all time zones.
Yes.
All right. Great. Do you have social media, right? You want to give us your plug there?
Yeah, so on Facebook, you can find me at CJ, and then my last name is LYCETT, CJ Lysette. That's my Facebook. And then you can find me on Instagram at Lysette Consulting Solutions 2020.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking time. You'll have to come back on.
Thanks for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You do an amazing job.
Well, thank you. I had some practice at MTV. Well, and you guys, before he goes, and I just want to shout out to my sponsor, Michael Silberg Family Wines. Leah Silberg does a great job. You can find her on MichaelSilbergFamilyWines.com. And if you guys tune in about a week, we'll have Christina on. We're going to have Leah on. We're going to have a lot of great people. So thank you for coming on, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Be safe out there and take care of yourselves. And as usual, what will you start up today?
You're listening to The Startup with Monique LeRae, only on LA Talk Radio.